Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and today we're going to have Dr. Sam back. He is the one that's leading the projects in Bosnia on the largest pyramid project in the world, he says. They're bigger than the pyramids at Giza, and it's really impressive what he talks about. It's really fun. I really enjoy having him on the program. He's so much fun to talk to. You know, he's been given a lot of grief over the years as far as his project not being legitimate. And what they're saying is his pyramids are not real, that it's man-made, or it's not man-made, it's natural formations. And I got to tell you that I'm having a really hard time seeing how somebody can dupe a whole country, because he's one of the most famous people in Bosnia, and everyone backs him there. The government gives him money for his project and so forth. And he has thousands of people that come and help with the volunteer on his project every year. He goes and gives talks all over the world. He has many, many scientists that work on it. So if it's the largest pyramid complex in the world, how do you dupe a whole country that there really isn't a pyramid there? I mean, I would think it would be just obvious that whether there's a pyramid or not. And so I really have a hard time with the grief that he's given over this. Now, some of the stuff that he's saying about it being 34,000 years old and that stuff, you know, the science is coming back saying that. I don't think he's making that up, but, you know, maybe that's not true. I don't know, but I don't, the bottom line is, I don't know how he could fake a whole project. So I'm going to call all that bunk and BS until I actually go there and see for myself that it's not true, because I just can't, maybe I'll end up eating crow, but I love this guy and I can't see how anybody could possibly do that. I have cognitive dissonance that it could possibly that be that way. And the Wikipedia and all those characters, I think there's something wrong there. And it wouldn't be the first time that somebody who comes up with a major discovery and is working on something that changes paradigms is ostracized. I mean, it's pretty much the norm if you're going to change a paradigm to be ostracized. So there's a big pattern for this. So I have a hard time until somebody can prove to me that it's not real. I'm going to believe him, because I think there's more of a chance that he's telling the truth than they are, because I can't imagine you could dupe a whole country that the largest pyramid in the world is really not there. So we're going to get Dr. Sam onto the program real soon. Before we get into the program with Dr. Sam, I want to tell everybody that I have a new Patreon page, account, whatever you call it, that is hoping to raise money. I'm just asking for $2 a month. If you can support the show, you'll get all my ebooks for free. So you get the ability to vote on topics and communicate with other listeners in the group. And if I get up to 100 patrons, I will be doing exclusive content with the guests that I have, which are world leaders, just for the people who are supporters of my show. So please support the show. It really helps that I get some money on a monthly basis coming in. As you know, it's really hard right now to get advertisers to advertise with any of the alternative media or with anything that's in a different sphere. It's a pretty difficult environment right now. And for me to be able to keep producing content, I really need supporters. And I figure if I'm giving away my ebooks for free, and if you do $5 a month, you get a free mug and a restaurant.com card, a $50 restaurant.com card. I'm trying to make it so that you at least get what you're giving to me back in products. And that really helps support me. And I would really appreciate it. So let's not waste much more time and let's get into our show with Dr. Sam. Hi, Dr. Sam. Welcome back to the program.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Excellent that you're back. I have a lot of questions for you. You have so many things going on with your show. I have all this stuff going on with my show. You have so much stuff going on with your
project, and I want to get an update on where you're at. Can you give us an update on where you're at with your project right now?
Yes, sure. For the last 12 years, since the spring of 2005, I have been running the Bosnian Pyramid Project, and it has become the most active archaeological site in the world, and not only that, probably the most exciting scientific project at this time in the world. Why I'm saying that? Because in 2005, we discovered the first pyramids in Europe, and they are the biggest, the largest pyramids on the planet. For example, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the biggest one in Bosnia, is more than 722 feet in height. The Great Pyramid of Egypt, 475 feet. The Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, about 600 feet. So two biggest pyramids on the planet are in the heart of Bosnia. Secondly, most of the pyramids in the world, Chinese, Egyptian, so many Peruvians, Cahokia pyramids, they're all oriented to the north. But the Bosnian pyramid has the best, the most precise orientation on the planet. For example, the Khufu, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, has error from the perfect north, 0 degrees and 2 minutes, and the Bosnian, 0 degrees, 0 minutes and 12 seconds. Next, when we started excavation, 3 to 4 feet below the soil, we discovered blocks, rectangular squares. When we analyzed them, we were told it was a concrete, artificially made material. Some people call it a geopolymer, some people call it synthetic concrete. This is the best quality concrete on the planet, even better quality than what we can make today. How do we know that? Hardness of our concrete from 10 to 60 megapascals, the Bosnian pyramid concrete, 73 to 134 megapascals. And then the age of the pyramid, very exciting. Well, what they teach us in schools is that everything started with the Sumer and Babylon, Akkad, Assyria, ancient Egypt, ancient India, 6,000-7,000 years ago. However, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, according to the radiocarbon dating of the organic material, which we discovered below the layers of concrete, is 29,200 years, plus minus 400 years. So we go back in the past for 30,000 years, and it requires all the history books to be rewritten. The next thing below the Bosnian pyramids, and we have at least five of them, which you name the sun, the moon, dragon, earth, and love. Below them, the most extensive underground tunnel network. Since our last talk, we have cleared another 1,000 meters of underground tunnels. So we have miles and miles of prehistorical tunnels below the Valley of Pyramids. Of course, we have tunnels under Egyptian Giza pyramids, under Shanxi pyramids in China, and the pyramids in Teotihuacan, Mexico, or Palenque, Mayan pyramids in Mexico. But the Bosnian tunnel network is the most extensive one. This is on the construction side. But then, on the other end, the purpose of pyramids. I think what we do there are really such exciting movement. Namely, on the top of the Sun Pyramid, we have detected and measured energy beam, which is electrical in nature, ultrasound in nature, and what we are finding out, especially after last fall when we sent drone above the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, we could notice that this energy beam starts with like 13 feet radius going up, but then after that it expands, and at 67 feet it is the widest, the strongest, and the largest. And then again, it gets very narrow to 13 feet. And then again, expands, getting narrow, expands. So it is an elongated energy beam. It is only electrical in nature. It is very strange. We know that we have to have electromagnetism, so we have to have electrical and magnetic aspect. Here it's only electrical. And this is what Nikola Tesla, 100 years ago, named the torsion fields, or today it is well known under the name scalar waves.
And now, since we last talked, you've delve into that a lot more and understand it more. So what have you learned since you first, because at the time we talked before, you just found it.
Yes.
So now. We were talking
about the energy beam, but now what we have, the scalar waves, they have two very important properties. The first one is speed. They are much quicker than the speed of light. And the second one, they can go through any cosmic bodies without losing the energy, which makes them ideal medium to transfer the energy or the information across the universe. Now, when it comes to the speed, well, we've been taught in the schools that based on Einstein's theory, the speed of light is the biggest speed in the universe. If you try to achieve bigger speed, you will simply dematerialize yourself. But then, when we think about the speed of light, really, you know, 182,000 miles per second is a huge speed. So, for example, if I got the light here in Bosnia and you're in the States, you can see that light within the same second. However, if we send the light to the sun, it would take 7.5 minutes to get there. If we send it to the core of our Milky Way, our galaxy, it would take 40,000 years. And if we try to send the light or the information with the speed of light to the center of the universe, it would take 5 billion years. Why is that important? Now, imagine that we are creator of the universe, and we've been creating first galaxies, 400 billion of them. And then every galaxy has stars. Our galaxy, Milky Way, has at least 400-500 billion stars. Our sun is just one of them. Stars, they have their planets. Some planets have moons. So a vast number of cosmic bodies. So if you are a creator, you would like to have immediate communication with all those bodies. Well, imagine if we are to receive information from the center of the universe in 5 billion years, we send our message back in another 5 billion years. It's just not too practical. And the scalar waves have speed of 10 billion times bigger than the speed of light, meaning that information would go from one end of our galaxy to another one almost immediately. So now with the scalar waves from the top of the Bosnian pyramids, we are actually proving that somebody was using them as the communication devices. And then when we are thinking, you know, how did they use them? First, we are thinking, okay, there is an energy beam. It's getting stronger and stronger as it moves away from the pyramids, so it can reach any point in our galaxy. But our planet is moving very quick, so it would be not practical unless the information goes to the sun, which is the biggest cosmic body in our solar system. And guess what? When we were checking this energy beam and its direction, we were measuring during the afternoon. And in the afternoon, of course, sun is located southwest. Noontime, south, evening, west. But afternoon, southwest. So this energy beam, this energy, you know, the scalar waves from the Bosnian pyramid sun is directly straight to the sun. Meaning there is a communication between our planet and the sun. And sun being used as the portal to other parts of our galaxy. So this is like a base for the cosmic internet. And that's why I'm saying this is probably the most exciting scientific project in the world, because the pyramids are not really about archaeology, Egyptology, geology. Nobody teaches them about the true purpose of pyramids. The pyramids are about the energy phenomena, energy properties. And that's why we needed physicists, electrical engineers, sound engineers. And that's why it's becoming so interesting, because these are real scientists. They come with the instruments and they measure. They bring oscilloscope, they measure. Then the team comes back, they use their own equipment. If they got the same results, it is the verification of the phenomena. So archaeology, yes.
Yeah, the archaeologists wouldn't have that kind of expertise. So who are you getting involved? Like, what kind of scientists? Because that would be amazing. I mean, this could change how you do computing, all sorts of stuff, right? So you probably are getting the top scientists going, oh, wait a minute, I want to see some of this stuff, right?
You know, 12 years ago when we started the project, a lot of obstacles from the cultural establishment, Bosnia, Europe, US, Egypt. But then archaeologists, Egyptologists, geologists, you know, they can tell you a few things. If you can find the primitive stone tool and the pottery, they compare, but this is not what we can use. The physicists, first we got the team from Zagreb, Croatia, with Mr. Mizrak, the physicist. Then we got the electrical engineers from Belgrade, Serbia, Goran Marjanović. Then we got the anthropologists from University of Trieste, Professor De Bertolis. Then we got, you know, Heikki Savolainen, the Finnish, the guy from Finland, he's sound engineers. So they are bringing their very delicate instruments, measuring all these phenomena. And so electrical field is extremely important, because what we have today, according to our conventional physics, you know, we have electromagnetism, you have to have electrical and magnetic fields. It is some type of, let's call it Hertzian technology. But what we are discovering here is a non-Hertzian technology. And the only guy in the last couple of hundred years who's been working with this was Nikola Tesla. You know, 120 years ago, first in his lab in Colorado Springs, you know, he was experimenting with non-Hertzian waves. And then when he built his famous Wardenclyffe Tower in the state of New York, he did only one experiment. But with this experiment, he said that he proved that there is a way to send unlimited quantities of energy between two planets, wirelessly, thousands of horsepowers. And guess what? The frequency that he was using was 28 kilohertz. And that's exactly the same frequency that we measured on top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. And this is not all, because using drone, we measured more energy beams on the top of the Moon Pyramid and the Dragon Pyramid and the one of the tumulus. And those beams, they are directed towards the Sun Pyramid, like they are giving the support to the Sun Pyramid, so its beam can be the strongest. So it's becoming really very interesting. So when it comes to the purpose of pyramid, obviously the communication, interplanetary communication, is getting probably number one place as the purpose of pyramids. But this is not all. We've noticed that when people come to the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, when they climb the pyramids, they feel so good. Their energy level goes up. People come with a high blood pressure, it gets normalized. They come with the high glucose in the blood, it gets on a normal level. They come with asthma in the Bosnian pyramid tunnel, they start breathing again normally. They don't need those air pumps no more. People come with much more serious diseases. And after medical studies, we concluded that once they are exposed to the pyramid energy, their body is coming to balance. Physical body, but also mental and energy. We've been measuring, using Professor Korotkov's from University of St. Petersburg instruments, we've been measuring the aura field before going to the tunnels, after coming back. All the parameters, aura field, the chakras, so the size of the chakra and their balance, the stress level, the energy level in the cells are so much better after being exposed to the pyramid energy. So I would say the element number two, when it comes to the purpose of the pyramid, is to protect what is the most valuable to us, and that is our health. Number three, in some of those tunnels under the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids, we've been discovering water. And this water has been there for a very, very long time, because it is more than 100 meters below the ground. We've been experimenting with this water. We've been measuring. First, we do conventional measurements like chemical and microbiological analysis. Excellent quality water, pH perfect. But then once we send our samples to late Dr. Masaru Emoto three and a half years ago. This water is a healing water, beautiful molecular structure, the shape of hexagonal, which is perfect geometrical shape, and a crystal-like structure. This is energetically alive water, happy water, unlike the water that we have in our kitchens, full of chlorine, traces of heavy metals, or the bottled water that we buy in the stores. So obviously, the most important liquid in our life, the water, when exposed to the pyramid energy, is getting healing properties. Then, the next thing, you put the seeds in the pyramid. After a week, plant it, it grows much quicker, stronger, and healthier than the seeds which has not been exposed to the pyramid energy. And then, I mentioned the aura. You are improving your aura field when exposed to the pyramid energy. And with that, not only immunity goes up, but also you have a base to develop your spiritual senses. What are the spiritual senses? Well, they teach us, you know, in the real life, we have five physical and one sixth sense, like spiritual sense. However, it's not one spiritual, it is 30 spiritual senses. Telepathy, telekinesis, teleportation, seeing other people's aura, feeling the energy, seeing the colors of the aura, energy healing and so on. You know, a lot of energy healers come to Bosnia, they say, well, their power is like 20 times stronger than in the Bosnian pyramid tunnels. So, on that level, and then once you develop your spiritual senses, then you become a free person. You have your physical, you have your spiritual senses, you can live in the balance with the two. And then you can live your life fulfilled, joyful, and happy. So we can see that the pyramid energy can affect every aspect of our life. Our Russian colleague, Dr. Alexander Golod, he was experimenting with the energy beam going through the top of the pyramid and trying to fix the holes in the ozone layer successfully. The next thing, our other colleague from Russia, Valery Uvarov, is proving that the pyramid energy can affect the climate, making it much more moderate. Building a complex, right now they have 9 pyramids in Tomsk in Siberia, affecting the climate in Siberia. That's middle of the Siberia. The winters were very, very cold, and the summers very mild. But now the summers are much warmer, the winters are not so cold anymore, and they can, you know, plant the fruit trees, which they never planted in their lives. So it affects the climate. It affects the production. If you build your pyramid near the oil well, the oil that you are getting is 30% better quality and bigger production. So the ancients were smart. So we don't investigate pyramids just to see who built it, when, how. But once we find out why, and then we can use reverse engineering, and then we can learn from the ancients. And they are so smart. So, Sarah, everything we do in our life, 21st century, you see the energy we are using in the States, 110 volts, in Europe, 220 volts, very bad frequency for us. We are using the cell phones, the mobile phones, 0.9 giga. Put it, you know, near your ear, and then your brain cell starts forming. Wi-Fi, we started at 2.4 giga, now we have 3 or 4 giga. It is the frequency of the microwave. Now imagine that you put your head in the microwave. And that's what we've been doing every day. Wherever there is a Wi-Fi signal, we are exposed to the, you know, microwave. Everything we do with the energy is wrong. We are using coal, dirty industry, oil and gas, limited quantities. The ancients were so smart. Below the Bosnian pyramid of the sun, a huge iron plate. It's a natural source of electromagnetism. Underground water flows, negative ions, electricity. Locations were so important, so building pyramids, applying elements of sacred geometry. 3 main pyramids in Bosnia, sun, moon, dragon, form equilateral triangle. Perfect geometrical shape, and as such, it is part of sacred geometry. So they were using those shapes and geometries, they were amplifying natural energy sources, getting the best frequencies, the healthiest frequencies, and getting the energy machines, the energy amplifiers, that would work forever.
So. That's really quite incredible. I'm going to ask you a couple questions about what you're You know, what is out there with the mainstream, the mainstream architects or archaeologists are struggling with this whole Bosnia project, right? You know, you've been dealing with it for a while. It's probably very frustrating.
The moment we announced the news about discovery of Bosnian pyramids, first the Bosnian archaeologists and geologists and historians and museum curators, they were signing petition to the Bosnian government to stop the project. Unsuccessfully, we had all the permissions. We established non-profit foundation for the archaeological digging. We are doing everything per book. And they went to the European Archaeological Association, Dr. Anthony Harding from UK, asking their help to stop us. They signed another petition signed by leading French and German and British and American archaeologists. They are saying there is nothing there, no pyramids. They don't know what they are doing. They don't have experts. They are damaging existing sites. All of that without any proof. Thinking. Once such a big names, big shots, big positions, big titles sign their petitions, we're going to, you know, get afraid and then leave the sites. And they were wrong. Because we know that, number one, we have noble goals in front of us. Number two, we have scientific argument. And, you know, 12 years later, you don't hear from them anymore. 10 or 12 years, they are saying, oh, there is nothing there, this guy, I don't know. Now they are using, of course, their very powerful instruments like Wikipedia or National Geographic trying to label us. But it is so irrelevant. When they come, you know, from their cozy offices into media saying there is nothing there, blah, blah. I mean, these are their opinions. Opinions are not relevant in the science. The lab analysis, sample testing, radiocarbon dating, energy measurements, this is what we do. Well, and they're giving their opinions.
Well, isn't it, when you're talking about a pyramid, isn't it at some point it just becomes obvious? I mean, one of the archaeologists that I was, that's why I'm having such a hard time with this. One of the archaeologists said that when he went there and looked at it, it was natural formations. But I have a problem with the whole country of Bosnia thinking it's a real pyramid and coming up with concrete and coming up with things that I don't understand how you could have concrete there and that be not be man-made. And at some point the pyramid's going to be uncovered enough where it just is so obvious what it is. So are you at that point yet where you've uncovered the pyramid enough where anybody that goes to it, it's just very obvious it was a man-made site?
In archaeology, there are one thing called trenches or sondas. These are uncovered sections. But usually in archaeology, those sections are very small. They are 6 by 6 feet or 10 by 10 feet. We have some sections which are 150 by 150 feet. We have thousands of concrete material being uncovered. Now, when archaeologists are saying, oh, it's a natural, well, their problem is they've been programmed for the last 200 years that pyramids are built in Egypt and Mexico, which is wrong because they are built all over the planet. The Egyptian pyramids, tombs for pharaohs, which is wrong. Not a single Egyptian pyramid has a mummy of the pharaohs. The pharaohs have been buried in the Valley of Kings, 200 miles to the south. So, what we are doing here, we've been creating a set of scientific criteria for the pyramid. So, number one, geometry. The Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun has four sides, four triangular faces, four corners, and those four sides meet at apex. Geometrically speaking, this is a pyramid. Element number two. Artificial construction material. You uncover the soil, 3-4 feet of soil, you're finding blocks, rectangular, square. It's a concrete. Number three, orientation to the cardinal points, east, west, north, south. Like in China, Egypt, Peru, Cahokia, Bosnian, most precise. Number five, inner passageways. We got them screened through the geophysical measurements. Number six, underground tunnel as part of the construction complex, and we have miles and miles of prehistorical underground tunnels, And you can see direct link between tunnels and the pyramid, because the tunnels are built in material called conglomerate. Conglomerate is pebbles, rock, sand. They removed conglomerate to build the tunnels, and they used this conglomerate material to build the pyramid, to build the concrete. They just added clay as the binding material, not cement like we are doing today, but clay.
Quick question on the tunnels. One of the things I read was that those were excavated in the Middle Ages and people were already walking around. But you just got done saying that you've just recently excavated another 1,000 feet of tunnels. So it's just not even, their arguments aren't even, it's so hard to hear that. And then there's just such obvious things that are going on. Okay.
People who don't know, who hasn't visited, you know, they have their ideas. However, we need to rely on science. Inside the tunnels, at least two civilizations. First, who built them 30,000 years ago. The second one, who closed all the tunnels. They brought the filler material. They filled them with the filler material. They built the drywalls. So when we remove the filler material, we find organic material. In the filler material, it is 4,610 years old. But then when we go to the sections of the newly opened existing prehistorical tunnels, we are again finding organic materials. And all the results are between 26 and 36,000 years, about 17 radiocarbon dating so far. So what people are guessing, they are trying to fit this to some, they are saying Middle Age or 19th century or 20th century or 2,000 years, ancient Rome. We are talking about the science here. You know, this is not the only site which is very unpleasant for conventional science. Even in places like Göbekli Tepe in eastern Turkey, which is officially 11,600 years, even though Dr. Klaus Schmidt, before he passed away, he told me probably 15 to 18,000 years. 11,600 is just the filler material. Somebody closed those sites also. They had like 100 megalithic circles. They closed them 11,600 years ago because in the filler material they are finding ground animal bones, and the ground human bones, by the way. So we can see that those sites, Yonaguni monuments on the bottom of Pacific floor, over 12,000 years. The oldest Egyptian pyramids, over 12,000 years. Same thing in the Mexico, Machu Picchu, 55,000 years. So now we are coming to the point that these are not anomalies anymore, but these are traces of the previous cycle of which ended 12,000 years ago with the end of the last ice age. But before this cycle, there was another one which ended 18,000 years. And then 30,000 years, a huge global catastrophe, 55 and 75,000 years. So we have at least 5 civilizational cycles. So Bosa and pyramids belong to one of them. But there is such a strong movement to keep the status quo. Because if you are heading the Archaeological Institute, Academy of Science, or Supreme Council of Antiquities, you want to keep, you know, this time frame, everything fit, you know, the third dynasty, the fourth, the fifth dynasty, the 12th building pyramid. Everything is wrong. Everything they taught us about the pyramid is wrong. There is no evolution in pyramid building. My experience, and I've seen them all, in China, 250 pyramids, 20 big ones, the most superior and the oldest. 230 small ones, 2,300 years old to 1,000 BP. And those pyramids are built from the mud brick. So the biggest one, granite, and the oldest one. And those who came later, inferior. The same thing in Egypt. The biggest one, oldest. Those that came, 12th dynasty, 26th dynasty, mud brick. Same thing in Mexico, Teotihuacan, the biggest one, the sun, the moon, and so on, oldest, the same thing in Bosnia. So there is no evolution in pyramid building. The knowledge has been brought, and it's going to open a lot of questions. Who brought the knowledge about the pyramids? Who migrated here? What was the
is it possible that they did evolve? It's just their older structures they replaced it with better structures.
Of course, it is possible, but at this point, my experience, wherever I go, you go to China or Indonesia, 29,000 year old pyramid, the same like Bosnia, 29,000. Dr. Danny Hilma has been investigating those pyramids. And they have also all the energy elements. They have volcanic stone, iron, electromagnetism, the same thing in Bosnia, iron. They have geometry, they have the shape, they have the side orientation, they have water, they have inner chambers, the same thing. Koh Kher pyramid in Cambodia, I was there 3 weeks ago. All the elements, sacred geometry, water, underground tunnels, tunnels inside the pyramid, everything is there.
But so we know that the newer pyramids are not as good. We know that. And so we know that 12,000 years ago, we were more advanced. But couldn't each cycle of humanity, couldn't we evolve during each cycle of humanity? And these great pyramids that we're finding are the end of that cycle?
It
versus
is past.
It coming. You know what I mean? Like we don't know, but I'm just trying to throw that up.
It is possible. As a scientist, I need a really hard proof to know exactly who built it, what was the purpose, and so on. So I would say that option is possibility. Because if you see what we have achieved in the last 150 years, I mean, we went straight from middle age to 21st, computerized age and artificial intelligence, and just in 150 years, it's nothing. But on the other end, we went from 1.5 billion people to 7.4 billion people today, and we've been behaving as a conqueror of this planet. Mm-hmm. More than 50% of species of the animal world and plants, they are gone because of us. So on the other hand, even though very technologically advanced, we behave as the uncontrolled virus. So we'll have to find a way to live in harmony with the nature. But before that, we need to find a way to develop our spiritual senses. Once we live in the balance, then I think we're going to see effect in society. So yes, it is possible that during the previous cycles of humanity, they were reaching peaks of their civilization, being in front of us in some aspects. And when you see sites like Baalbek in eastern Lebanon, they have 1,250-ton block. Until 15 years ago, our cranes could move only 350 tons. This was four times heavier. So if we look for the proofs that there are more advanced civilizations in the past, we don't need to go metaphysical, because the proofs are in the physical world. We just need to open our eyes.
Well, there's some obvious. They have some pillars that are the size of a football field, practically. As far as length is, it's just huge. We can't move those. And it's one block of stone, and they still have it in the quarries. So, those things are obvious. But when you're getting this pushback on some of the obvious things, and you're one of the most famous people in Bosnia, and your people are very proud of having these pyramids, and they're getting this pushback, are they insulted? What is the feeling there?
No.
They don't care?
In the beginning, it did bother me in a sense, why wouldn't people accept this? It would be better for everyone, for the scientists, for the archaeologists, for the economy, for the tourism, for everyone. But then I realized, archaeology especially is very conservative science, so information will get to them probably the latest, 20 or 50 years from now. And when people sometimes they don't understand or they don't want to, to understand, they either laugh at you, they attack you. But 20 or 50 years from now, all our colleagues in Egypt, or China, or Mexico, or Peru, wherever the pyramids are, they will be following our steps. They will realize, hey, pyramids are not about place for one dead body.
Yeah, it's silly. But
they were built as the energy amplifiers, energy machines. We can learn so much from them. And the good thing is about it, you can measure those energy phenomena.
Well, there's a lot of scientists, you know, with all these entrepreneurs and all this science and Silicon Valley and everything going on. There's a lot more open-minded people to looking at this stuff. Maybe archaeologists are kind of, they're just in a different frame of mind. But when you're talking about, you know, this kind of science, data science and electrical engineers, especially computer science, they are way open to looking at different phenomena. Yeah. So working with those scientists must be a lot of fun for you and rewarding, because they'll come to the table trying to prove this stuff out, and they're excited about it too.
Yes, it is, and I consider myself the most blessed guy on the planet, because the last 12 years I met thousands and thousands of exceptional people, conventional scientists, alternative scientists, traditional, this and that, spiritual scientists, and I've been learning from every one of them. We started this project 12 years ago as the archaeological project, and then we expanded to interdisciplinary scientific projects, and then we went to the next field, energy field. And then to the next field, spiritual field, because we realize, hey, this energy aspect really influences our spiritual aspect. How's that? Bigger aura, spiritual senses. And then we went to the next one, to the self-healing aspect. You go to the tunnels, you measure the results, you get your blood tested, you get your urine tested, and you can see that 30 parameters that we've been investigating are much better after being exposed to the pyramid energy. And it matches exactly what our Russian colleagues have been doing in the last 25 years. So I would say at this point, when it comes to the pyramid science, two leading nations in the world are Russia and Bosnia. Why? Because we have unlimited access to the pyramids. In our case, to the ancient pyramids. In Russian case, to the modern pyramids, because they've been building pyramids near Moscow, St. Petersburg, and in Siberia, in Tomsk. And we've been doing a series of experiments when it comes to the medical, healing, superconductivity, electrical production, and so on. So this is what we can prove. So why would I waste my time trying to, you know, argue with some archaeologists who are saying these are natural formations? This is past, you know, behind
you've
us.
You've moved on.
Yeah.
That makes
we
sense.
We have held 5 international scientific conferences, 120 scientists, and we got all in our, you know, conference proceedings, on our websites, in our books, you know, everything is there. They want to find out more, let them read. You know, I cannot waste my energy and, you know, try to argue with everyone on that. I don't have
I agree with that. You're only alive for so long. Why should I be bogged down? I want to find out what's really going on here. Now, there was a huge discovery in Turkey where they found the Egyptian princess, their stuff in Turkey. You know, a dark journalist had it on his show. You know what I'm talking about.
From the last month, yes.
It was incredible. And mainstream media didn't talk about it. It was one of the biggest finds, just like the Bosnian. It was one of the big, at least it was Egyptian, and we can tie it, and people can relate to it, and they still didn't cover it. Can you talk about that? Because that was an incredible find. And I know that you are in this world, and you would know, you know, in that circle, you would know what's going on there as well.
Well, officially, Egyptians would go as far as today's Israel, Palestine, Jordan, but not Turkey. Now, all of a sudden, we have them not only in Turkey, we have them in Australia, we have them on the American continent. Now, the idea of historians and archaeologists is that the full communication between continents started at the end of the 15th century with Christopher Columbus, and then 16th and so on. But communication was there not thousands, but tens of thousands of years ago. You know, when you see some, for example, pyramids in Mexico, there is a place called Tula. It was officially the capital for the Toltecs. On one of the top of one of the pyramids, you can see 8 stone columns. They represent the faces of different races from different continents. That's from the 8th century. How do they know about all continents? That and they're telling us that there was no communication. When you take the two most prominent pyramids in Africa and Central America, the Great Pyramid of Egypt and the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan. Now, in the Egyptian pyramids, we have number pi, 3.14, incorporated. What you do, you take the length of the sides at the base, 231 meters, two sides, 462, divided by height, 147, results 3.14. In the case of Mexican pyramid, you have square root for number pi. And then, the length of the sides in Egypt, 231 meters, in Mexico, 231 meters. We have three big pyramids at the Giza Plateau, Khufu, Khafre, Meseren. We have three big ones in Mexico, Sun, Moon, Quetzalcoatl. And their layout is exactly the same. So here, you know, we can see the signature of the same architect. And they're telling us thousands of years back there was no communication. But the Turkish discovery that you just mentioned, of course there was communication. I mean, those people, those days, they were traveling, they were sailing all around the planet. But they keep us uninformed. Less we know, we are easier to control and to be manipulated.
Well, I was talking to Cliff High, and he has actually a picture of a pyramid in Antarctica. He's not able to publish it. I mean, I don't have a way to prove this, but people are saying that there's probably pyramids in Antarctica and huge pyramids, which I think is absolutely, you know, phenomenal. Have you heard much about this?
Well, I have seen some pictures. The problem is how to independently verify
it. Yes.
What I could see, it's not one, it's most probably three of them. Now, we can see two sides that they are... triangular, and it's rather good geometry. But of course, they are covered by snow and by ice. One has to go there, probably Antarctica. Of course, it's the military zones. You know, that continent is divided, you know, by several countries. And then, unless you are part of these military teams and politically correct, you cannot simply go there and independently verify that. The another one on Alaska, it is based on the stories by the, you know, U.S. military 40, 50 years ago. So we have places like that where the access is very, very limited or not possible. We have also some places like on the bottom of Caribbean Sea, you know, off the coast of Cuba with the sonar, you know, 40 years ago. They got some images of possible pyramids, which is, I would say, very possible because there was a huge land mass until 12,000 years ago in the middle of the Atlantic. Some people call it the land of Atlantis, and with the pyramids on this land. However, there are more pyramids that they are accessible, you know, Central American pyramid, the Mayan pyramids, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, and El Salvador. You can go there, and especially because of the fact that 90% of the Mayan pyramids are still covered by soil and vegetation, and some of them are very old. For example, we have some big pyramids in Palenque. 25 of them have been uncovered, but originally they had 1,229 pyramids. And the biggest pyramid is not uncovered yet. Mexican government does not have intention to do that, because this pyramid is at the same time the oldest. And then again, our ideas about evolution not so good anymore. So the wall of the past was the wall of the pyramids. What else we're going to unearth? I would say in Amazon, there is also a number of pyramids. Of course, there are 224 Nubian pyramids in Sudan, 103 of them on Canary Islands. On island of Mauritius, seven pyramids. They are really beautiful, stepped in design in the middle of the Indian Ocean. So the pyramid science, I think, has the future. And then we can see how the ancients were using this shape in their practical life.
So you talked about the, you know, the scalar energy coming out of the top of the pyramid. And I just had an interview with Wal Thornhill. He's, you know, the Electric Universe. I'd really like you two to talk. I think you could get a lot out of that Electric Universe theories. And have you followed any of that? I assume you have and listened to it. Because I and with the sun, and you're talking about the sun being, because that's where they're going with all their theories. And they've been working really hard to prove this out.
Electric Universe is very interesting theory, and then it can answer many questions. For example, communication within the universe. And that would explain so much more. And then when you imagine that, it should be, of course, some creative force, intelligence behind the universe. And the Electric Universe can answer all the questions, how to control, manipulate, and stay informed with everything going on in the universe, you know, immediately, at the same moment, not wait 5 billion years. But the problem is, 100 years ago, they simply did not consider that. People who were developing the theory about the universe, they had no clue about, you know, the electrical nature of the universe. And, you know, that was the problem there. But I'm hoping that more and more proofs will be coming on the surface with the people who are supporting this theory, because I think that what we have in Bosnia, the scalar waves and the Electric Universe, will be answered to many questions.
Well, yes. And I think you're moving to a cross-discipline, or you've already moved there, a cross-discipline site, where you're bringing in all scientists from all these different fields. And I would think that would be a perfect connection to really start bringing answers to that. And vice versa, they have all these electrical engineers that are really working hard at proving out these theories, and it's working in labs. And yes, we're still in the infancy of accepting this, right? But there's a lot of scientists that are saying, hey, wait a minute, this makes sense, and these theories are all proving out. I want this to come to mainstream so they can debate it. Let's debate it and get these facts out there and start debating and flushing out what's nonsense and what isn't, so that we can move forward. There's too many smart people that are looking at this saying, hey, wait a minute.
You are right. You know, 100 years ago, Nikola Tesla was the only one trying to get the free energy. But then when you have just one guy, it's very easy to stop him. You know, the mainstream against him, you know, they put his lab on fire, they did not finance him, and that's it. But today, there are hundreds, there are thousands of people from Dubai to US, from Brazil to Norway, from Singapore to so many other countries, working on these free energy devices. Sooner or later...
And at universities.
It will become our reality.
Yes, it will.
You won't be able to stop that anymore. And once you have the free energy, it is going to change our society forever. Because today, when you look at it, I mean, the main source of income for elites, and the main strength they have, is based on this energy system they have, you know. Less than 1% of the people have everything. 99%, you know, they need to struggle every day in our daily life, you know, to pay the mortgages and loans and houses and cars. And then they push through the media, through TV, all these consumables, buy this, buy that. But once you have the free energy, it changes everything. And the next step, the next pillar of the free society should be the free flow of knowledge. And once you have that, based on those two pillars, you'll have society of free women and free men. Because based on monopoly on the knowledge from the ancient times and today, this is how the elites function. And based on that monopoly, they have monopoly on the corporate world, on the political world, on the religious world, on the financial world, on media, and so on. Those two things, they're going to change our society forever. And we are going in that direction.
Well, the free flow of knowledge is so crucial to so many things. I mean, we have big problems, and if we can get the free flow of knowledge, we can start solving some of these problems, right? I mean, you can't, it's very difficult to solve it without knowledge, and we have some issues. And I think what you're discovering, and what the Electric Universe and all these things, getting that knowledge, that free flowing, who knows where there's where things, you need to get things flushed out too, right? You're at the edge of science. Whenever you're at the edge of science, you gotta get through those flaws. But when you have the free flow of knowledge, then you can get, you can flush that stuff out quicker. You can get great ideas coming to you, which you probably are already getting a lot of that. But the regular people, you know, people getting more minds and geniuses engaged, it would just, and we're in a renaissance now, which you internet, can feel. I know you can feel it.
Internet has become such a powerful tool. And now you can share information with people all around the planet. Hasn't been the case until, you know, a few years back. Now it is the case. You know, several years ago, I went to Giza and in front and the back of the Sphinx, I could see the wooden palace below the halls, and I knew that Egyptians were digging at night when tourists were not there. What they were looking for, we know that also. The Hall of Records, or the Library of Atlanteans, older than 12,000 years. And then when I went to talk to the Giza director, I asked him, what did you find so far? He answered me, oh, this is confidential. I cannot tell you. Why is it confidential? The knowledge does not belongs to the Egyptian Supreme Council of Antiquities or to the British government. It belongs to all of us.
Belongs to the people. Now, couldn't there realistically be multiple libraries around the world? We just have to find them?
Of course, and from different civilizations, in different forms. And they are there. In most cases, you simply need to dig deep. To dig deep. And but, you know, our Bosnian Pyramid project has become the most open project in the world. From day one, I said, well, we won't have secrets. We won't have selective information. We will not have elites here. And that's the reason why we opened the project for volunteers from all over the world. Never in the world of archaeology has been such enthusiasm. You know, in the last 7 years only, we have had 2,450 volunteers from 62 countries and 6 continents, professionals and non-professionals alike. They come, they can work, they become part of discoveries. They find organic material, they find artifacts. So, 10, 20 years from now, they can tell their kids or grandkids, hey,
So I remember watching and listening to some people that were, when they started getting involved in your project, they were struggling with being able to be taken seriously in their field, right? Which was sad. Is that stopping now? Is that not as big of a deal?
I would say it is not. It's still some pressure, especially in the archaeological world. But, you know, for example, a few years back, just during one season, I had 54 archaeologists. So it's not like, you know, 2006, 7, 8, there was a threat from European Archaeological Union that whoever goes to Bosnia, they're going to lose their jobs when they come back. You have some independent guys. You have archaeologists who don't care about the threat. You know, you got people, they come, they want to see what's going on. But not only archaeologists, geologists, geophysicists, satellite experts, geothermal experts. People come in the PIP with the special cameras, you know, to film the energy fields above the Bosnian pyramids.
And that's all we have for today. Dr. Sam will be back on Friday with the second part of this interview. And I want to give you a heads up that I will have Dark Journalist here next week. He will be talking about his 6-part series that he has on the secret space program and how nefarious actors are coming in and infiltrating the alt media and pretty much turning it into a farce and a joke and making the whole thing look silly, pretty much casting a dark shadow on everybody else that's doing serious journalism into the secret space program. And he really wants to uncover that and show it for what it is so that the people who are doing serious journalism are taken seriously and it doesn't turn into a big joke. And we don't allow nefarious characters to come in and turn everything into a big joke. I mean, this is serious stuff. When you have trillions of dollars missing from the government's budget, you know, where is that going? That's what they're trying to figure out. They're trying to figure out where all that money is going and trying to do serious journalism. And so when you get goofballs coming in and turning it into a big joke, it's not a joke. It's something that's very serious. And he's going to come on and talk about that on next week. So I want to give you a heads up on that. And then remember my Patreon account. Remember to support my show. Remember, I have a book, Wrong Side of History, that really needs to get out there. Again, if you cannot afford it, just send me a message. I no questions asked, no judgments. Just want to get that information out there. Don't worry about it. I'll send you the book for free. So for now, I hope everybody has an amazing day.